every single thing that you've done in this place. God, right now you said in your word that you needed a binder, and God, you said that you needed a looser. So God, here we are, and God, right now I bind up addiction, Father God, in Logan County. God, I ask you right now, Lord, that every drug dealer in this town, God, I ask that you would expose them, God. Lord, I ask that you would shut them down. God, in Jesus' name, everybody that's suffering, God, in addiction, Lord, I ask you to break those chains right now. God, I ask that you'd set them free. God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I invite the Holy Spirit in comfort in this place. God, for those that have come in here hurting, God, that are grieving, God, I ask that you would do only what you can do, God, which is comfort. God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for those that have come to your house, God, and they're in physical pain. God, I loose healing right now in this place. I bind up infirmity, and God, I just loose your healing. God, from the top of their head, God, to the soles of their feet, I call them healed in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for the people that are watching on Facebook Live. God, I ask that you'd make a way where there wasn't a way. Lord, you know exactly what they need. God, I ask that you'd give them what they need. Lord, and we praise you, God, and we thank you for all that you're going to do in this service. And God, we tell you to have your way. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am happy to be here in God's house. Sunday sometimes seems like forever, and then sometimes it seems like it got here super quick. But one of the things that I always like to do is to give honor and to give credit to where honor and credit is due. And I want to ask each daddy in this place to stand, because you guys, we need to honor you. If you're a father in here, maybe they're not your biological children, but hey, that's not what being a daddy's all about. Can we give these guys a hand? Amen. Amen. How many of you know that you got to man up to be a dad? There's a bunch of them that's manned down and they've taken an absent seat, but hey, we got a bunch here that have manned up. Now, if you don't like that terminology, I'm just going to tell you to get over it, because look here, I'll probably offend you more as the service goes on, and you'll just have to get over it. But guys, I want to tell you thank you for being that man to your family and bringing those kids to church, raising your family. God bless y'all. You may be seated. God is so good. I'm so happy to be here. Are you happy today? Amen. I didn't ask you if everything was going right. Amen. I know that's confusing. Everything doesn't have to go right in your life for you to have joy. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's times where none of it's going to be going right. There's still joy to be had. There's still joy to be found. If you've come in here hurting in this place, I want to tell you that God, He knows, and He knows better than anybody else. Now, one of the things that I want to say, y'all two stand up just for a minute, and I don't do this often, but what I have learned is to just do what God says to do. Your pastoring goes a lot better when you just do that. And I want to tell you something, Casey. I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. You have done so good. Now, what is your name, sweetie?
Tara.
Tara, you got a good man. Amen. And when y'all walked in here, I was just so proud. I have had the honor of really kind of mentoring Sophie for the past year. I've taken her to her piano lessons and all that stuff. Let me tell you, if you ever want to get rid of Sophie, y'all just give her to me. I'll take her. That's my girl. But I want to tell y'all, guys, we are proud of y'all. And what I'd like to do, when I saw you, God showed me your hands, and He said, Kelly, I want you to pray over Casey's hands, because I want everything he touches to prosper. Yes. And so what I want to tell you is God's not done. God's just getting started. So, Casey, let me see these hands. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for these hands. God, I say everything that these hands touch, they prosper. God, everything that he touches, God is blessed. Lord, I thank you, God, that you take him further than he ever thought he could go. Lord, you take him to places in his life he never thought capable. And God, I thank you right now, Lord, that you've caused him to be a success and a victor in every part of his life. Lord, I say right now, God, that anything that's not going his way, God, I thank you that you're turning it around right now, God, in Jesus' name. And we give you praise, God. We give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And Mama Kay, I'm so glad you're here. Y'all welcome Mama Kay back. Mama Kay is my girl. She watches me every Sunday, but by golly, I'm so glad when I can see people's faces. It just really makes my day. And I want to tell you guys that God loves you so much. If you don't hear another word that I say in this message, I want to tell you that God loves you. I want to tell you that God really deeply cares about you, and God sees you. God sees where you're at. He sees when you go to bed at night and you feel empty. He sees when you go to bed at night and you're crying yourself to sleep. He sees when you don't know how there's going to be a way. He sees that, and he knows exactly what he's going to do. And so my prayer is today that when you walk out of this door, that you walk in out with more hope than what you came in. And I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that's really, really close to me. You know, the most annoying thing is when you get a pastor that wants to preach about something they have no idea about. That never goes over good. So what I want to preach about is some of the overflow of my life. And I want to talk to you this morning about enjoying your life. Enjoying your life. Now look here. I don't look like other pastors. I'm not going to talk like other pastors. And I ain't like other pastors. If you come up in here thinking I'm going to preach about Father's Day today, you're wrong. Now I had the best daddy in the whole world. He's awesome. Daddy, stand up. I'm sure everybody knows you, but I'm going to give him honor. Y'all, amen. Paris Christian Center would not be what it is. He founded this ministry, and he deserves a lot of honor and credit. Sometimes I call him up, and I say, now, how did you do this for 30 years? I'm on year two. And I don't know what to do. No. One of the things we did when he was growing up is he would sing. If we was getting a whooping, he'd probably be singing to that too. He would sing and he would rhyme. And I've never heard somebody be able to sing and rhyme so many minutes. It's so strange, but it was a weird hobby of his. One of the things I remember when I was about 15 years old in my childhood is, you know, I don't know who all has girls in here, but I'm sure Alvy can attest to this. Sometimes they just cry, and there's absolutely no reason why they cry, but they're crying. John, if you ain't reached that part in your fatherhood, get ready. He's going, last night. Well, let me tell you something. When you got girls, they're going to cry. If they ain't clawing each other's eyeballs out, they're crying. And if they ain't doing that, they're having some type of drama. You're either going to have destruction with the boys or you're going to have drama with the girls. And that's just how it is. Destruction or drama. Everything in my house is broke. Look here. I'm not going to get anything new till they get about 15 years old. Because I know they're going to keep breaking stuff. So if you come over to my house, don't worry about me. I'm blessed. I'm just not stupid. So one day I was sitting at the table, and I was crying. And I was about 15. I had no idea what I was crying about. And Dad goes, Kelly, what are you crying about? And I just looked up at him. I said, I have no idea. It just come up over me. You ladies feel me? Some days you wake up, you need to cry about something. You're not sure what, but you'll know later on when it happens. So He said, well, I'm just going to sit down with you while you cry. And then I cried. I had my little spell. It came over me. I got it out, let it out. And then when I was done, Keisha, he goes, you know, Kelly, one of the biggest slaps in God's face is when he gave you this life, he gave you each day, and you're not happy. Imagine giving everything that you had and somebody still not being happy. Now, what I want to say is happiness is a fleeting emotion. Case in point, you ever happy, having a great day, somebody called you and instantly you ticked, you irritated, somebody got on your bad side. All right, that's happiness. Happiness is fleeting, just depending on who calls you and who don't call you. Joy is the thing that's going to last. Joy is the thing that God said, I'll give you joy. It's going to last you. It's gonna keep you in the bad times. Look here. When God gives you joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you feel weak, say, God, fill me with your joy, because that's what's getting me through this hard time. And, you know, I like when people can just keep it real. There's nothing worse than a bunch of faking going on. I'm not somebody that believes when you fake it till you make it. Look here, if I'm unhappy, you're going to know about it. If something ain't right in the kitchen house, everybody's going to know about it. It's going to be on this face. We're not fakers up in this family. And let me tell you something. God doesn't want you faking it till you make it. You know what that's going to get you? Confused. You'll wake up one day and you won't know what you are. You won't know who you are because you faked it. It's one too many times. And the Lord has been ministering to me about enjoying this life. Enjoying it. That's an area that if somebody said, what do you struggle with the most? That's it. Enjoying life. I'm not one of them fake pastors. I'm the one that's, I'm going to tell you first and foremost, I got issues. One of my issues is I have a hard time enjoying this life. I have to fight to keep my joy. And you may be going through a time in your life where you're having issues just trying to keep your joy, just being happy. I want to minister to you about that this morning because look here. How many of you dads out there, you do anything for your child to be happy? You want them happy. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian man up in this place, you've got the best example of what a father is because it's Daddy God. Daddy God wants his kids happy. He did everything for us to be happy. It's not that he would do everything. He done did it. He done did what he had to do for us to walk in that joy and for us to enjoy our life. And so it's difficult in this lifetime sometimes to enjoy that life. So I want to go to Psalms chapter 16. We're going to look in verse 11. And what I've learned is I've never been one of these people. You're not going to find me reading a bunch of books. I love people that do read books. They're most of the time very intelligent folks. This is pretty well the only book that I read, and I read it often. And this is, to me, Keisha, all I need is this book. And what I've learned is that you can hang on every single word in here. From the smallest sentence to the biggest sentence, you can hang your life on it. You can build your life around it. You can build your life on it. It's the only thing that's going to get you through difficult times, stressful times. It's the one thing that you can say, this will not fail. When everything else fails, this will not fail you. It will not fail. It cannot fail you. So Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. And it says here, you have made known to me the path of life. Now, I'm going to pull out some points in this verse. So point number one, if you're one of those people and you say, you know, I either have a hard time enjoying life or in this season I'm having a hard time enjoying my life, I want to pull out a point. You have made known to me the path of life. Now, I want you to know that in God's Word, the Word of God says, in Him and Him only, in Him we live, In him we move, and in him we have our being. Now let me tell you something. If you're putting anything in something else, at some point you are going to be irritated. You are going to be let down. You are going to be discouraged. If you think that you can live and fully live in anything other than Christ, you're going to have a letdown. And ultimately, you're going to have a part where you can't enjoy your life because you trusted in something that wasn't the living God. Amen? So the first point about changing it around, Lord, I want to enjoy this life. How do I do that? Number one, realize that in him you live. In him you move. See, a lot of people, they make big life things on a whim. I see a lot of families messed up on a whim decision. Let me tell you something. In him we live. You think that you've lived up until you've known Christ, you ain't lived. In him we move. See, if you moving and he didn't say move that way, you're going to have some issues. The Christian needs to realize, don't move till he says move. Did God tell you to go left and you went right? Did you zig when you should have zagged? See, in him we live, in him we move, and in him only, do we have our being. See, your being is not wrapped up in another person. Your being is not wrapped up in your job. No matter how successful you'll ever be, your being should be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. He is the author and he is the finisher of your faith. He did not start something in you to leave you to figure it out. But most people, they get discouraged when the slightest little thing don't go good and they walk away from God and they totally miss out on every blessing that he had. I did a surprise funeral yesterday. Those of you that don't know what that is, that's when you a pastor and you show up in a place and you didn't know you was going to preach that funeral and you end up preaching that funeral. I love surprises. Look here, I'm game. And I sat over there and there was a brother and his sister had passed away. And look here, you can tell right off the bat. Most of the time I can tell right off the bat if I'm going to get along with somebody. There was something, Melissa, I just liked about this guy. He'd just tell it. I said, we're going to have a mic up here. Anybody that wants to memorialize this precious lady, I want y'all to be able to say some things. Now, that's always a gamble. My husband goes, Kelly, I'm beginning to think we may need to shorten testimony services. There have been some people that have said some stuff, and it's just getting out there. I'm like, Jeremy, look here. They are not politically correct. We need to get a censor on those things. A 7-second delay. You're not here for those services that you know what I'm talking about? Well, you missed out on a good laugh or two. So we have this guy up here, and he said something very profound. And Mama Kay, God can talk to you in any moment. A lot of people think, I got to go to the church just to hear from God. No, you need to be here when the church is open. You need to support your church. But look here, don't get things confused. You can talk to God when you're on the toilet. You can talk to God when you're in your car. You can talk to God in any moment. I was over there, and he gets up, and he said something, and it just cut me like a dagger. He said, don't create circumstances and situations for yourself and then hold a grudge against people after you done did that and then go years and years and years unhappy. I'm going to say it again. A lot of our unhappiness and our unenjoyment of life are situations we created for ourselves. Can I get an amen? You ever created yourself a disaster? Okay. Most of those disasters, when we really look, sometimes we created them, and then we mad at the thing we created. We don't even realize we should be mad at ourselves, and we mad at some other folks. You ever been mad at somebody when really you should have been mad at yourself? Okay. So God wants you to enjoy your life. And the first point is, realize in Him you live, in Him you move, and in Him you have your being. You have made known to me the path of life. If your path of life does not have Jesus Christ at the very center of your life, you are going to have a hard time enjoying anything. Because this life is difficult. It is hard, and it is raw, and it is real. Point number two, we're going to read on in this verse. You will fill me with joy in your presence. If you keep coming up empty, it's because you haven't allowed God to fill you up. Here's what happens. A lot of people think that by coming to church, you good. Let me tell you something. There's a whole lot more to your salvation than coming to church. Coming to church is one of the top things, but that ain't going to completely get you. You got to work it. Salvation ain't going to work out to itself. And so it says, you'll fill me with joy in your presence. Now, I don't know who all does this, but Van, very rarely will you see me get gas for myself. That's Pastor Jared's job. He does that. Now, I know I'm spoiled. Look here. That was his idea, not mine. Amen? The other day, a light came on the car. I said, what is this thing's problem? Kay's going, you go 3 days on that light. Look here. That wouldn't happen for me. I'd be on the side of the road. That light come on. I go, what the heck is this car's problem? How dare this car act up for me? It was the gas light. I had to figure out how to get gas up in that car. I ain't done that but a handful of times since I got married to him. So, I don't know if you've ever done this. Back when I was a teenager and I had to make my own gas money and all that stuff, that fun stuff that your parents do to try to give you character and integrity and responsibility. So what I would do is I would get like $5 of gas and I would get it every day. You following me? All right. How many of you know a teenage girl goes a lot longer than $5 of gas every day? I'm pounding them streets in that terrible decision truck I decided to buy. That was a life lesson. So it would have been better to have just filled it up for the week and got it up in there instead of just chopping everything up. Now let me tell you something. A lot of folks, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to be a Sunday morning church goer. That's going to be it. Okay, well, you're probably going to come up empty on some things. If that's all you're doing. Now, if I'm stepping on your toes once again at the beginning of the service, I told you you're going to have to get over that. You want truth, you came to the right church. So a lot of folks, they do all these little piddly things, and that's like what they're doing. They're just putting a little bit in a time, and they think that's going to get them through their life. Look here, that ain't going to get you nowhere. The first big fat problem's going to come up, and bam, you're going to be up on the side of the road holding your hands up going, what happened? You didn't fill yourself up in the presence of God. That's what happened. Okay? So realize, point number two, if you keep coming up empty on your joy tank and on enjoying your life, I want you to ask yourself, how much of God's presence have I been in? Now, here's where I fall short. I do a lot of good things. I do a lot of nice things. Ain't none of them getting in God's presence. We're talking about His presence here, not the nice things. We're in a different category. We're talking about His presence. Okay? It's different. It's different. Practice being in the presence of God. when this praise and worship comes on, try lifting your hands. You want to feel the presence of God? Do something for somebody that could never pay you back. Ask God, God, what would you have me to do? You got to have God's presence. You got to know where your life is going. You're going to come up very unhappy in life if you don't ever have God fill you with his joy. Because if it ain't his joy, it ain't worth having, because it's fleeting. So point number two, get in his presence. Get in his presence. Spend time with God. For all the married people, how would your marriages be if you never spent time together? I told Jeremy last night, what TV show do you want to watch? We're going to spend time together. Well, we ended up not spending time together. But look here, I'm trying to spend time with that man. Why? Because I want my marriage to work. You want your salvation to work at its fullest? Spend time with God. Spend some time with him. With eternal pleasures at your right hand. The third point that I want to make about enjoying your life. Realize. Make a mental note. Eternity is on the other side of this. God did not tell you that this life would be easy. He said, in this world, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. He told you to be of good cheer. He overcame those things. But look here, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Diana, things are hard in this life. There's some gut-wrenching things that happen. But look here, just because things are hard doesn't mean you can't have joy in that heart. You can have joy. You can let God fill you up. Don't lose perspective. This life down here is like a vapor, the Word of God says. It's like a vapor. Fix your eyes on the things above. That's where you want to end up. That's where you want to go. When something gets real down here and it gets hard and you want to give up, you know what? Remember that God said, now look here, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and get you. I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you and we're going to spend eternity together. There's times where I'm going so much where I lose sight of the fact that God, this down here, this is momentary. God, help me to make heaven. Amen. The pastor just said, God, Lord Jesus, help me make heaven. Amen. We all got to have that at the forefront of our mind. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the congregation is good for the pastor. I have to work at making heaven myself. Let's go on to Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to look at verse 8. And it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. Now I want you to say with me, my way isn't God's way. Look here. Don't lose your joy when God does it his way. That's my next point. How many of you ever done something in life and you went along and God done something? And it kind of threw you off because it wasn't how he thought he was. You thought he was going to do that. There's things and I've had an idea about how they would go. And when they didn't go that way, it messed with my joy because it came out of nowhere and I didn't expect it. And because I didn't expect it, Dale, it made me bitter and it made me angry at God and I had to get a hold of that. Look here, when God does it his way, he told us in his word, my ways are higher than your ways. Don't get mad at him when he does it his way. Realize that his ways are so much higher and his thoughts are so much higher. Don't lose joy over the fact that God's going to do it His way. He's going to do it His way. Don't let that mess your joy up. In verse 9, it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God has put a lot of thought into you. God has put so much thought and care into everything about you. So don't get mad when something throws you off because He did something higher than you could have ever done it. That's going to happen. And look here, we all happy it does. In the end. Amen. So it says here, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. Let me tell you something. If you will spend time in the presence of God and you get to talking to God, God will get to talking to you. And whatever proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's what you're living off of. You're not proceeding out of what Sally Sue says or this one or that one. Look here, nothing about what they say matter. What matters is what the living God said. If he said it, He'll establish it. He'll make it come about. So many people, they can't get in His presence, and that's why they can't hear from God. That's why their lives are messed up. It's because they will not get in His presence. God will talk to you if you'll listen. God will talk to you if you'll get in His presence. Amen? And so it says here, so is my word that goes out. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is true. Everything He told you He would do, He'll do it. The issue is, a lot of people, Casey, they never find out what God says because they never talk to Him. I shook the preacher's hand. I'm good. Look here. You got too much faith in me. I'm going to tell you that. It's like I told Sister Blabbermouth. Look here. You got to watch me when I'm driving you. I'm liable to hit something. Ask Keisha. The girls on Monday night, they say, I don't even think about doing nothing wrong when I'm up in this car with you. I'm too busy praying, God preserve my life. Look here. You need the kids scared straight, you give them to me. I'm going to drive them around town. I'll have them so darn scared they're going to want to act right. Now look, so is my word that goes out from the mouth of God. And most importantly, it won't come up empty. There's people in here under the sound of my voice. You came up empty because somebody told you something and they didn't do what they said that they were going to do. I'm going to say it again. There's people and you're having a problem keeping your joy and enjoying this life because somebody told you, they made a promise to you and they said they were going to do some things and they didn't keep up their end of the bargain. Whatever God tells you, you are not going to come up empty on that. If you are coming up empty over brokenness because somebody done you wrong, they disappointed you, I want to tell you something. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to beg you as your pastor, please let them go. Let them out of that prison that you've had them up in and forgive them. Forgive them and let it go. That thing is holding you back. God wants to have some time with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to get you in His presence. And He wants to fill you with the promises of what He wants to do for you. You don't got time to be focusing on how somebody done you wrong. Look here. Hold your breath because there are other people going to do you wrong too. They don't mean to disappoint you half the time, but they do. That's what we all do. We all disappoint folks. We don't mean to half the time, but we do. We're human people. If you've got somebody in the chains of unforgiveness and you're not letting them go, let me tell you something. That'll eat you from the inside out, literally. You get an ulcer, and you won't be able to eat no good Mexican food because you're going to be tied up. Y'all like Mexican food? I do too. I got to keep my gut right for that. Can't be holding no unforgiveness. It'll sit wrong. Let them out of there. Let that person go. That wasn't even a point of mine, but I just added it. Keep enjoying life. God's going to do what he told you. When it didn't happen the way you thought, you ever looked at your life, sometimes I'm so discouraged and sometimes I just have to sit in that car. And sometimes I tell God, God, this isn't how I thought life was going to be. God, this is hard. Look here. Suck it up. Gird up your loins. Realize he has a plan. He's going to get you to the other side. He is not a man that he would lie to you. Everything that he said, he'll do. Let go of everything that everybody else said. Let it go. None of it matters. Doesn't matter. Look here, if you're that person and you're thinking, this was not how my life was supposed to go. I did not see myself going through this. I'm going to ask you to begin to turn that over to God. I've spent more time, Brother Alvey, being broken up about the way things turned out sometimes. Look here. Case in point. The other day, I was at the food ministry. I love the food ministry. If there's one thing I love feeding people. Because you see, Jesus did that all the time. He fed people. They're like, oh, you're not supposed to hang out with the Pharisees and the prostitutes. Look here. He sat down and he just had food with them. And he said, get them all together. Bring that little boy up here. We're going to pray over this. God's going to multiply. We're going to feed him. We're going to have a good time. And that's why I'm passionate about the food ministry, because that's the one thing that you see Jesus. I mean, he did it over and over and over. He met that physical need. How many of you know that when you're hungry, you can't think about nothing else? And you're edgy. And I like to feed people. I like them full, and I like them happy. I was out there. It was like 100 degrees. And I'm doing this food. And I was struggling, and I was telling God some things I was irritated with. And right over here, there was a big fat pallet of ribeye steak. And somebody goes, do you know what that is? I said, what is it? They go, that whole thing is ribeyes. Now, I'm a cheap person. I ain't going to buy no ribeye. I can. Look here. I also need to buy my fancy shoes. I'd rather have my shoes than have the ribeye. Look here. God wants you to have it all. And God said, Kelly, I'm trying to bless you. Here you are, messed up over some little silly thing, and I've given you a whole pallet of ribeye to bless people. Kelly, I'm going to give you more than you ever expected. Look here, I can look at y'all. Some ways I have the hardest job. Some ways I have the easiest job. Here's what makes it easy. There's a 100% success rate. When a person will actually give their life to God, 100% success every time. Every time. Every time. I said, God, forgive me. You know I'm a jerk. Look here. We got about 25 packs of very expensive ribeye. Guess who's going to get to eat that? The precious senior citizens that we're going to serve tomorrow. God will do everything that he told you he would do. In the beginning of the pandemic, God said, Kelly, I want a food ministry coming up out of this church. I said, God, I don't got the manpower for no food ministry. Barely get people to come to church right now. Ain't you notice it's a pandemic? Lord, I mean, you're supposed to know it all, but look at what I'm dealing with down here. Let me tell you something. The food ministry was birthed in the middle of disaster. You don't think God can bless your socks off right in the middle of the worst thing ever? He can and he will. He can and he will. He can't. Melissa, is that truth? He can and he will. Will the devil try to make it look bad? Oh, yeah. Will God turn it around? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. You got to believe that on the worst day. You got to believe it on the worst day. And so it says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose in which I sent it. See, look here. When God opens his mouth and he says something to you, he is sending the word out. Now, the word of God is living and it's active. Amen? The word of God is living and it's active. So when God tells you something and you'll put them ears back and you'll say, yes, Lord. I'm not going to argue with you, God. Yes, Lord. Guess what he has the right to do in your life? Prosper you, make you be in health, make those things turn around, because the word of God will get up inside of you and it will live inside of you and change your whole life. If you dead on the inside, that's because the word ain't up in there. Why ain't the word in there? Because you didn't plant it in your heart. The word says, thy word, God, have I planted in my heart. See, look here. If this is a Sunday morning thing for you and that's it, you're going to have a terrible time of trying to do life. Because look here. This thing is either in you or it ain't in you. And if it ain't in you, you're going to have some trouble. Because let me tell you something. The moment you step out the door, there's something wanting to smack you in the face. I mean, is that right or not? Sometimes I'm like, ugh. I'm in that king-size bed and I've got them sheets and I'm going, Lord Jesus, is it safe to come out today? What kind of demons are waiting on me? But look here. Before you let your little baby toe hit your carpet, you better have it figured out and decided. It don't matter the devil that's going to be waiting on me, because the word of God that I planted up in this heart told me that he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. He called me a victor, and he told me that he done gave me the victory. So he told me that I could cast out demons in his name. See, it's all about him. So it says here, it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy. You're going to go out in joy. You're going to go out in joy. When you're having a bad day, say, God, your word says that you want me to go out in joy. God, give me joy. Lord, help me to get into your presence. God, help me to get into your presence. You know how many times I took Sophie Lynn to piano lesson and just sat there in that Catholic church and said, God, fill me with your presence. I love that Catholic church. Why? Well, for a couple reasons. Number one, it's not my church and I'm not responsible for it. They've got some beautiful windows and it's very serene. And Miss Monday is griping Sophie out and not me. I already feel Jesus when that's happening. So I sit there and just meditate. Say, God, soak me up in your presence. God, soak me up in your promise. I know life is hard. God knows life is hard. He's got it all figured out. He wants you to be able to enjoy your life. If you're struggling to enjoy your life, I'm trying the best I can do other than hanging from the ceiling fans. I'm trying to change your mind. Please enjoy your life. If there's a part that's causing you trouble and you're having issues enjoying it, give it to God. Say, God, this is the reason why I'm having issues. God, help me to process this thing. Because let me tell you something. God will help you digest some things in your mind so you can just let them go. The devil wants you to hold on to him, and God wants you to let him go. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Joy, peace. Joy, peace. You're going to go out in joy, and you're going to be led by peace. Look here, the peace of God that passes all understanding, because there's things that has happened in this life that we do not understand. We think, God, how could you let that happen? God, why did this? And God, why did that? Let me tell you something. The Word of God says that you're going to go out in joy and that you're going to be led forth, forward, forward. See? God doesn't say, I'm going to save you and you're going to go back. You're going to be downgraded. No, he said, I'm going to upgrade you. You're going to be led out. You're going to be led forth. And you're going to be led forth in peace. In peace. And I'm going to fill you up with my joy. Not as the world would think joy is. Because look here, the world's messed up about some things. It's very messed up. About a lot of things. A lot of people think, well, you should guard your kids from seeing blah, blah, blah. Look here. Like this or hate it. But I'm going to tell you what I do with my kids. Carson's watching something, and I don't think he should watch it. I'll tell him to turn it off. But if there's a thing that I can put into his life while he's still living up under my roof, eating my food, real good, by the way. Guess what? I'm gonna use that as an opportunity to mold that little impressionable spirit that he's got. And Van, I'll sit with him on the couch, and if I hear something I don't agree with, I look over at him and I say, now, Carson, I'm gonna tell you something. And I'll pause that TV and I'll say, now, look, that ain't right. Do you know that? And we'll have a little discussion. Because I'm not going to be one of these parents that never have talks with their kids. Look here, I'll be the one having those talks. I'm not going to let the school have those talks. They can have all their little talks that they want to, but let me tell you something. It ain't their job to make sure my kid makes it up in heaven. It's my job. I'm going to tell them what they need to know. When they told something that ain't the truth, I'm going to tell them, no, that's wrong. And so it says they will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Look here, whatever God's told you, it's not going to be destroyed. You can't go off of what the situation looks like. Nothing's ever what it looks like. God will get glory out of whatever. He can make glory out of anything. Last place for me, John chapter 16. So you need to decide every day, God, I choose to enjoy this life. God, it doesn't matter what life's problems just presented themselves to me. God, I choose to enjoy. God, I choose to enjoy. Lord, I'm having trouble enjoying. God, fill me with your presence. God, fill me with your joy. John chapter 16, verse 24. And here's Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples. And he's telling them, he's talking to him about grief, and he's saying, now look, I'm going to come back. I'm going to leave, but I'm going to come back. And in verse 24, he says, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive. Ask, and you will receive. Ask, and you will receive. Why am I repeating that? Because they say that if you say that a multiple times, people's going to get it. Ask and you will receive. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Your kids ever get you in the store, Mama, can I have this? Mama, can I have this? Mama, can I have that? Mama. Okay, don't call me Mama no more. It just got on my nerves. Uh-uh. I'm done with that. Yes. If you'll just be quiet, I'll give it to you. What is it? Does it cost $1 million? Will you guarantee your quietness? Okay. Ask, and you will receive. So many people are mad at God about something they haven't even talked to him about, let alone asked him to change. So many people are mad at God at something they ain't even asked God about. They want it changed. They haven't even asked God, Daddy God, will you change this? But they mad at God. Look here. You got something in your life that you're in need of. You need a situation turned around. Ask God. Ask him. Ask him. There's times, Crystal, when I go to bed and I'm going, God, I'm just going to tell you about this, and then I'm just going to go to bed. You are going to have to deal with that. Only you can. Have you reached that place in your life where you realize there's things that only he can do? When you reach those places, you need to realize if only he can do them, then you need to back off. And you need to just let him do them. And don't lose your joy over how he does them. It'll be better than you could have ever made it happen. And so it says, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive. And your joy will be complete. And your joy will be complete. Ask God. Ask him. See, there's a fullness of joy. There's a completeness of joy. It is not based on your current problem. Y'all got problems? I got problems. Enjoying your life doesn't hinge on you having issues or not. Things are going to come up. Choose to enjoy your life. God didn't put you here for you to be miserable. He put you here to change this world that we're living in, to get people to come up in, to get them to come up in. Brother Larry, I was praying for you the other day, and I was thinking, you know, does Brother Larry know just how many people's lives that he's helped to change? I hope that you know that you make a difference. Amen? See, God put you here to change this down here. He didn't put you here to fit in and be miserable like everybody else. He put you here to be a difference maker. And the devil's trying to get you to feel bad about yourself and to get you discouraged. God wants you to be encouraged, and he wants you to be complete. Y'all ever watch that movie? I think it was Jerry Maguire. You complete me. Oh, give me a break. Look here. If a chocolate chip cookie can't complete me, no man can. Amen? Let's take that pressure off of them. Your completeness ain't coming from nobody but Jesus. Let him do it. Let him do it. Verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me, everybody say in me, you may have peace. Your peace ain't coming from nobody but Jesus. If your peace is robbed from you, that peace wasn't in Jesus. Get your peace in Jesus. I've told you these things. What things did he tell us? Everything that's in the Word, he's told it to us. He said, I told you these things so that in me you can have some peace. You ever think, God, all I need is your peace. I just can't get any peace in this situation. Look here. Get on your knees and start pleading the blood of Jesus over yourself, over your life, over your family, over your children. Don't get up until you've done it. Don't get up till you have a peace about it. Don't get up till God's done confirmed, I'm going to take care of that. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. somebody ever give you a heads up about something you was in trouble about and you're thankful that they did? We used to do that when we were growing up. I'd say, Melissa, we're all going to get in trouble for such and such. We all need to get on the same page about the story that we're going to give. In this world, you're going to have trouble. It's just a part of it. We don't live in a perfect world, but we serve a perfect God. We serve a God that's got a 100% guarantee. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Take heart. Get a hold of yourself. Take heart. Get your emotions in check. Make them line up with the Word of God that says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Enjoy your life. It's a slap in God's face when you're so sad and miserable all the time. Look here. Enjoy your life. Enjoy it. Get as much out of it as you can. Bless as many people as you can. Do for as many people as you can. Make it worth it. But take heart. I have overcome the world. One of the main things when you get in the middle of the battle is the devil make you feel isolated, like you're the only one that's ever dealt with that problem. Look here. If you had to overcome it, Christ overcame it first. Let's stand to your feet. If a part of this message has grabbed a hold of you and you say, God, I'm having trouble enjoying my life. I struggle to have joy and to be peaceful. I'm going to just ask you to raise your hand because look here. I believe God is meeting you right in that place where you're struggling. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I lose right now, God, joy and peace in this place. God, there's situations that only you can make right. Daddy, God, I thank you that you've already turned them around. You've already started making them turn for your good. God, you're so good and faithful to us. God, we thank you right now for loving us. God, we thank you right now for providing. God, we love you so much. And God, we turn it over to you. And we give it to you, God. And we love you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.